The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on January 8th, 2017.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9, and it's page 519 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. Here is my servant, who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, where John the Baptist is at the Jordan River, just after he has spoken to the crowds gathered there, and Jesus comes toward him. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how many people remember the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It came out in 2000, which kind of shocked me when I looked that up. I was like, really? That long ago. So it's about the journey of three escaped convicts during the Great Depression as they seek to redeem their lives from their pasts. In one scene, the three men are hiding out in the woods when suddenly they're surrounded by a large group of congregants dressed in white robes, all proceeding down to the river singing, "As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way." And they sing that refrain over and over again as they all go down to the water, and the preacher, one by one, submerges them and in the waters of baptism in the river. So these three guys are standing there watching this kind of strange and mesmerizing scene. And one man says, "Well, desperate times flush the chump. as another character runs wide-eyed toward the preacher in the water. The preacher bends him backward into the water, and he emerges a look of absolute joy on his face, and he runs toward his friends shouting, "I've been redeemed! The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven everlasting's my reward. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water's fine." Now, he might have had absolutely no idea what he was doing when he ran into the water, but in that moment, he knew everything had changed for him. We've spent the last few weeks looking at life-changing moments, focusing on Jesus coming into the world. We've heard the words of the prophets, the angel's visit to Mary, the story of his birth, and the magi from the east who followed a star to visit the child. After which, Joseph was warned in a dream that the child's life was in danger, and the small family fled to Egypt to find safety. From here, our story in Matthew fast forwards about 30 years to introduce us to Jesus as a grown man, coming to be baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin, John. We know little about their relationship to one another growing up. The Gospels have few details to share about Jesus' childhood. But we met John during Advent, announcing the baptism with water for the repentance from sins, and proclaiming that the one who is greater than he will come after him. These are the verses that immediately precede the story we just read today in the Gospel of Matthew. "I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals," he says. And immediately after he announces this to the crowds, here comes Jesus walking toward him into the river. It is clear that he intends for John to baptize him. But John is confused by this. He says, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" And Jesus replies, "Let it be so, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew is the only gospel writer that records this dialogue between John and Jesus. It may be his way of trying to address the problem of Jesus' baptism, even in the early church. Why would Jesus, who was without sin, need to be baptized by John in a baptism of repentance? That's the question theologians and religious scholars have been hung up on for centuries. But in focusing on that, we might miss the more important message here. John clearly feels unworthy to baptize Jesus. He has just said as much to the crowds gathered at the river. But Jesus knows that it is important to identify himself with the human condition in every possible way. The light of the world has come, and the people are now the light bearers. God's light is made known through revelation of Christ to the world and through the heavens opening and the Spirit descending upon him. But the light is also made known through the consent of John the Baptist in fulfilling Jesus' request for baptism. The light is made known through our own revealing of Christ by living out God's covenant in our own lives, by the public symbol of our baptism, and by our own open hearts to God. Yet the power of Jesus' baptism goes beyond his identifying with our human frailties and struggles with sin and forgiveness. It goes beyond our being redeemed from our sins. For in the moment John immerses him and he comes back up from the water, Jesus experiences this profound vision of the heavens opening up and the Spirit of God descends upon him as a dove. He hears the blessing of God telling him, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the moment when Jesus' ministry begins. Perhaps, we don't know, perhaps it is the moment when Jesus first begins to understand who he truly is. Immediately after his baptism, the Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness, where he spends the next 40 days and nights and faces three temptations by the devil himself. But even in that wilderness, Jesus is not alone. He knows that God and the Holy Spirit go with him. Wilderness times are a familiar theme in the Bible. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years before they finally reached the Promised Land. And many times, they were ready to throw in the towel and go back to captivity in Egypt, where at least they knew what to expect. But God was with them throughout their journey, even when they abandoned God, and God provided for their needs with manna from the sky and water from a rock. Caroline Lewis reminds us that with baptism comes wilderness, and that wilderness is not an individual affair. The Israelites were not in the wilderness alone. They had each other. Jesus was not in the wilderness alone. He had the Spirit and the promise of God's declaration. We are never in the wilderness alone. Our baptism compels us into community, and if we ever rely on baptism as only that which safeguards our own individual security, we have misinterpreted Matthew's story. Now, many of us were too young to remember our baptism in the literal sense, the actual act of when we were baptized, if we were baptized as infants or young children. But it does not mean that we cannot remember that claim that God has upon our lives, that we cannot remember that we also are beloved of God. So many of us struggle with feelings of unworthiness, questioning our own abilities, our lovability, our identities. For Henry Nouwen, Jesus' identity as the beloved child of God reminds each of us of our own true identities as God's beloved. First of all, he says, you have to keep unmasking the world around you for what it is: manipulative, controlling, power-hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, "These feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting belief." That is why the story of Jesus' baptism is so central to our story as Christians. Baptism is the beginning of the story, the beginning of our lives as those who are called and claimed as God's own. It is only when we know and truly embrace ourselves as the beloved children of God that we are claimed as in our baptism, that we are empowered to go forth in this identity and change the world. We live into that identity throughout our lives, in all the struggles, joys, and temptations we face as human beings. To know ourselves as the beloved, Nouwen writes, is to know that we are chosen. Yet to be chosen as the beloved of God, he says, is something radically different. Instead of excluding others, it includes others. Instead of rejecting others as less valuable, it accepts others in their own uniqueness. It is not a competitive, but a compassionate choice. Instead of making us feel that we are better, more precious, or valuable than others, our awareness of being chosen opens our eyes to the chosenness of others. There is a place for everyone, a unique, special place. Once we deeply trust that we ourselves are precious in God's eyes, we are able to recognize the preciousness of others and their unique places in God's heart. So remember your baptism, this day and every day of your life. Remember that you are God's beloved daughter or son, with whom God is well pleased. And remember to see your neighbors, friends, strangers, even enemies, as God's beloved children as well. For baptism is not about who we are as individuals. As Caroline Lewis says, baptism is also about who the other needs you and them to be. To be present in the wilderness, to tell the other of God's words from heaven, to proclaim that baptism cannot just be about the self, but is about living life as being the light of the world for the sake of the kingdom of heaven here and now. You, plural, all of you, are God's beloved children. This is the heart of who we are and whose we are and what we are about as followers of Christ, who immersed himself in the waters of baptism and in all that it means to be truly human. Thanks be to God.
Today's sermon was delivered by Supply Pastor Trina Portillo. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McEninch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2017 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.